Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce Member Success Stories. My name is Tom Cooper. As you know, this is our series of interviews with members of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce. During these conversations, we're taking a little time to get to know a member and to learn about how the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce has helped them with their business. Today, we're hearing from Charlotte Chamber member Jeff Hartledge from Charlotte Tech Consulting. As we started our conversation, Jeff told me about how he connected with the Chamber just as his business was getting started. After only a year, he almost dropped out of the Chamber altogether.
I said, you know, how do I grow this business? Because I had come up through the thing where the concept of networking is something the hardware guys did in a back room with a raised floor.
Clearly. That's yeah. Right. There's some wires involved.
Yes, exactly. And so I asked around with a few people. People started mentioning the Charlotte Chamber. Go join the Chamber. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Going in there, and I think I think it was just a dress shirt and a pair of slacks and some business cards. Mm-hmm. And walked in and looked around and started meeting a couple people. And, you know, and that's why I always fall back and I say that University City chapter, I'm so glad I went and visited there first. Because I had four or five people, and actually one of them, that first meeting, Pat McCrory was speaking there.
Interesting.
And I turned around and I saw him, and he and I were the only two on one side of the room, and he walked up to me and introduced himself, and he starts looking at me and says, so what do you do? Tell me about your business. And I'm like, my business is literally in its infancy. But what struck me was the way he portrayed that. I'm like, geez, this guy's, you know, he's going to deal with 100,000 more things, but he actually sounded like he cared about what I was doing.
What I've heard about your story is that you were in the Chamber and not having tremendous return on your investment
yes.
at the end of your first year.
Yes.
And then I think you said there was something. Why did you come back? What happened?
I sat down and I talked with one of the Chamber employees, Kathy Vitale. And I said, Kathy, I said, I think I want to do this again, but I said, you know, what am I missing? Because I'm seeing some, but I'm not necessarily seeing enough to justify. And so she started explaining and took more time to explain more behind the scenes. What, you know, well, you know, you got to think about things that really go on at some of the different events, the different activities. She targeted a few other places, you know, to try and get involved in some of the other volunteer activities. And said, the more visible you make yourself, because I will admit that first year, I probably went to most of them. I did not go to all of them. I probably went to 60 or 70% of the University City functions and maybe about 20% collectively of the other ones. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the eye-opening part to me is I said, okay, I got to make every possible University City one. And I literally sat down and had made a note in front of myself and said, you know, this is what my plan has to be. I have to go every time there's something here. I need to try to go here and here. As much as I really kept these three, which was South Park, Northwest, and University City.
And how long ago was that?
I guess it's been 7 years now. Because it was shortly after when I was first up for renewal.
Mm-hmm. And what happened, so you said, all right, I'm going to start to commit to go.
Yeah.
What happened when you started doing that?
My phone started ringing more. People were calling, asking questions. People were asking me, can you do this for me? You know, once they started to get the sense that I was committed to being a part of that organization, be it this chapter, and I wasn't some guy looking in, just to pass as many business cards as I could.
Right.
But I was there not just to see what I could get out of the group, but I was there to get to know those people and see what their needs were. Mm-hmm. Because their needs may be things I can immediately do, maybe something, you know, something else that I can indirectly help them with.
Jeff expanded on this idea of helpfulness. He told me a story about helping someone with something totally unrelated to business.
One of the biggest ones that comes to mind, I had met a person who was a sales rep just for a business in the area, and we had met at the University City. And we had seen each other at a couple of things. We kind of knew each other and we kind of talked and joked around and stuff. But I come across him down there and then you could just tell there was some concern or something. They weren't quite the same type of person. You know, I just got some issues. My son's got a speeding ticket and I'm not quite sure what to do with it. So I said, I called my insurance rep and I said, you mind talking to her? She's a single mom. She's not really sure quite what to handle with this. And so she, those two, I connected those two together. And, you know, she came back to me probably four times in the next year with specific referral opportunities for me.
Hmm.
And she said, you know, I was so grateful for what you did. You know, here's somebody I want you to talk to. You know, this was a builder down in South Carolina. Then, you know, hey, I was just talking to this person. Or then they called me, it was an HVAC company. And, you know, she had been in their office selling them something. But it was just from that one innocent conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had known my insurance guy for a long time. I felt comfortable saying, no, hey, can you help her with this?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I said it's just, you know, I keep calling back to the members helping members concept here, because the more that I find I can help somebody, if it's small, insignificant, if it's huge, the more I can help them, you know, it's proven to me through the years a better chance they're going to make an effort to try to reciprocate in some way if they can.
Jeff also pointed out that the only way to know how to help people was to ask one simple question.
You know, are there things that I can help you with your business right now? Or what do you need? What would help your business grow right now? What or who?
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what the answer they're going to be.
That's true.
Jeff has a degree in computer science. He's a technical guy. Learning to network with others was a new thing for him.
Networking. I thought it included wires and a raised floor.
Right.
But, you know, so that whole networking concept, you never did anything that tedious.
So how did you change your perspective on that?
You know, it was really pretty easy. Once I realized, I started seeing value and some return from people, you know, they said, oh, you know, I passed your card to a friend of mine. He's going to call you. It was really easy to start to appreciate, you know, gee, I want to be wherever this person is.
That person's helping me. I want to go see them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think, and you touched on this earlier, that idea of if networking involves, you know, shielded cable and raised floor.
Yeah.
The idea of saying, and here's what you need to do. You need to spend a couple hours a week intentionally going to do something you have no idea what to do or how to do it. That is overwhelming and scary for people. Mm-hmm. And I can see where people wouldn't do that. But as you begin to understand, and you said this a minute ago, you said, it's the people.
Yeah.
Just get to know people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a powerful thing.
You know, I would meet people there. They said they needed something. You know what? Hey, I had lunch with that person last week. I can hook you two up. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa.
Now you're not just getting connected to somebody. You're actually making connections with somebody else.
One of the things Jeff talked about was his time commitment. What does it really take to make the chamber work for his business?
I think sometimes people get scared by the amount of time they think it's going to take. It doesn't take that much time, really. I think a lot of people overestimate the amount of time being involved in chamber activities take.
How much time do you think today you spend doing chamber activities?
About 10 to 12 a month. And that includes lunches, board meetings, making additional other conversations or calls. As I said, on a normal basis, I'll probably try to go to at least 3 lunches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always University City, most of the time Northwest, and then depending on who may be there or the timing of them, either South Park or the East Chapter. But I found over time, as the more I was there and more people knew who I was, I started to see more people coming up to me and asking, you know what, a friend of mine needs some help with this. And I said, I remember you were here last month. Like, yeah. And so, you know, just through the conversations with the individual members and the commitment to being there on a ongoing basis,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think what I took out of that is people saw I was interested in, say, that area or that, you know, interested in the people in that room. And it made it more likely for them to come up and say, maybe I can trust this person to do some work for me.
So you started to get your phone ringing more often. You started to see people consistently because you were showing up consistently. And at some point you made a decision to commit more time to the chamber because you're on the board now.
Right.
So what went into your thinking about that?
That was just an opportunity to say, you know, this is a group that has helped me grow my business. What can I do to try to influence to make some of these meetings or some of the events more valuable for the rest of the people in the room?
That's interesting. I want to touch on that for just a second. So with those events, one of the things I've noticed that you tend to do is you hang around after lunch is over.
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Generally, I just kind of look to see if there's other people in the room, maybe if there's other questions, because at some point they do say, you know, you can ask other board members if you have questions. Things may have come up during dialogue. The other half of it is, you know, I introduce myself usually at some part of the meeting before I do the intro. And, you know, I kind of feel like maybe if somebody has a question, they may come up and ask. But a lot of times I may have a specific, I want to go talk to or look for this person, just to try to remain somewhat accessible in case there are questions, really.
Another key item Jeff talked about was his follow-up plan. What happens after the chamber meeting? People don't come to chamber meetings to buy things, although some people do come trying to sell. The really successful ones come to build relationships. Jeff offers some advice on how to successfully follow up with people between chamber meetings.
And then after you go to those events, do you have any kind of follow-up with folks?
Yes, I will at least, you know, try to drop a quick email, and I may take like a picture from the common event we were at, or something unique maybe to something we had talked about, just to get that connection back to them. But the thing that I have found is the timing has got to be right with some of those people. I may not send it right away.
I just had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I said to him, when does it make sense for me to follow up with you? And he said, well, I'm going to Stockholm next week. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so obviously the rest of this week, he's going to be thinking about how do I get all the stuff done before I go, whatever the last minute travel details are going to happen when he goes, he's going to be swamped with that. When he comes back, he's got to play catch up. Three weeks easily before he's going to be able to come up for air. I mean,
all you do is you just make a note. If you do it, I mean, you know, send an email or send a note or make a phone call, follow-up phone call to, you know, 3 weeks from now. Just wanted to touch base and, you know, hope your trip went well. But I think timing is critical in those things, and you can't assume you do it as soon as possible. We usually try to come up with at least a timeline. You know, when I sit and meet with somebody who's about ready to become a client and say, okay, here's what we need to do. And I said, I want to meet with you at least here and here. But if it's a brand new person, I like to try to put it, I normally will put at least 2 weeks window out there if they haven't committed to anything. But I like to try to encourage them, you know, when, like you said, what is a good time or when is a good time? But, you know, I may go back 2 weeks, and if I don't hear anything, I may need another week or two. And, you know, just first time, just wanted to follow up and, you know, enjoyed meeting you. And the second time, I may change some of the context a little bit, say, you know, I'm going to be in your area on Thursday the 25th. Is there time we can get together and speak? And that may be like a week later, just, you know, to kind of encourage them to ask a question back or to reply back.
One of the other things Jeff talked about was the ability to make connections with leaders in our community. Specifically, he talked about a recent luncheon where he had the chance to connect with Electrolux CEO, Dr. Jack Truong, just by sticking around at the end of a luncheon.
And, you know, sitting there getting up to walk up to a gentleman like Jack Truong at Electrolux, you know, maybe it's just me, but, you know, I enjoyed that, walking up and saying, you know, here's the CEO of a company who, you know, did more in his first 5 years than most people I know do in their career.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was interesting that when Jack and his HR lead, Julie, were there for his presentation, they were both willing to stick around afterward and shake hands. And I felt Julie had a stack of business cards, must have been 3 inches high, man. People were, you know, pressing the flesh. And I thought it was, you know, I thought she was a good sport for doing it.
But, yes, you know, but it's, you know, that's what... Because a friend of mine wants to meet some folks from Electrolux. And I even told him, I said, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the right opportunity because they're going to get overwhelmed, like we just kind of referenced earlier. But I said, you know, I have no problem trying to build a little bit of a relationship there and then come at the right time and say, here, I want to introduce you to another person I know here. It's really all about the people. And you get a good core group like we've got now on the board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you walk into those meetings and it's just an exchange of ideas from everybody.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Thanks for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you and to hear some of your story. Appreciate your contributions.
No problem. Glad to do it.
Thanks for joining us for another Charlotte Chamber of Commerce member success story. Today, we heard from Jeff Hartledge from Charlotte Tech Consulting. Jeff talked about how he almost quit the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce after his first year, but then got connected with a chamber staffer who helped him create his plan. He found ways to network, to look for ways to help others, and then become intentional about following up afterward. Over time, Jeff has gotten more involved in the chamber and serves on the board of the University City chapter, where he says that allows him to give back to the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce while he continues to grow his business. He reminded us that it's really all about the people and helping them with their needs. Join us next time for another Charlotte Chamber of Commerce member success story. For the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, this is Tom Cooper, signing off.